We forget that Jesus bore our sin so we don't have to sin no more. I stand in awe when I read the scriptures in their entirety whenever Paul will make statements like this. So you're a Christian now. You're washed in the blood. If you really are a child of God, he said, should you ever sin again? And his answer was, God forbid. How can a Christian, how can a born again, blood washed son or daughter of the King of the universe ever sin again? Because you are dead to sin. So how in can a dead man sin? We do not do a very good job of conveying the fact to our children when they get saved or when they're coming up. I remember these boys right here on the front row when I baptized these two boys. I done a serious teaching on baptism and how it works. And I asked both of them a question. I said, now boys, once you get saved and once you're baptized, you become children of God. I said, now how many times are you supposed to sin after this? And they both immediately told me, how many times?
Zero.
See, they still remember. They are to be different. They are sons of the Most High God now, and they're never to sin again. Now, does that mean they're going to meet that goal? Probably not. You know, they may make a little mistake, but if they do make a mistake, one of them or both of them, if they were to sin, it's not to be a practice. If you make a mistake and get angry with your brother or something, you do something, you can repent and ask God to forgive you, and will he forgive you? Yes, it is. But the goal for these two boys as brand new Christians, just like they both said, zero sin after we got saved. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if we taught all of our children zero sin after we got saved? I tell you, I think it'd be pretty wonderful if we taught our adults in church that they're supposed to be zero sin after we get saved. Isn't that something? Because as children of the Most High God, I mean, especially when we get a little older, we got a little age on us now, we get saved like these boys did at a very young age. By the time they get to be 12 or 15 years old, if mother and dad continues to put in them the Word of God and they continue to come to a church where the Word of God is preached like it's written, they will never get off on that tangent of going into the drug or the sex world. They will not go there. The Word of God clearly says, you train up a child in Proverbs 22. You train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will what? He will not depart from it. Most of our children today, we've heard this. And I was raised up in a church that taught this, unfortunately. Once saved, always saved. You're okay now. Yeah, you're not really supposed to sin, but if you do, it's okay. You know, you still get to go to heaven. Once saved, always saved. I don't like that statement at all because it ain't in the Bible. I have read the book many times, and let me tell you, that statement is not there. When you give a child, a young person, or an old person, far as that goes, a license to sin, you've just condemned them to hell. Now see, the scripture clearly says that if we turn our back on this sacrifice that we're talking about, Hebrews 10, if Jesus washed us in the blood and we're redeemed, and then we move back into the sin world. I'm going to read something to you out of Galatians 5:19 and on, 5:19, 20, 21. I want you to see something here. I think that most of the church doesn't believe this, but most of them surely have read it. Galatians 5:19 through 21. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your lives will produce these evil results. Number one, what is that? Oh, that's something we don't ever have a problem with in the church today, do we? Do we have absolutely zero problem with sexual immorality in the church today? No, it's running rampant, isn't it? And we wonder why we got all these sick people and all these problems. When God said in his word, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, in other words, when you got saved, what's supposed to happen to your sinful nature? It's supposed to go away. You're supposed to throw that thing away. You're not supposed to hang on to that thing. You're supposed to kick it out. I mean, kick it out. And you don't want nothing to do with that sinful nature. I want to be the new creation. I don't want to be the old creation back doing sinful things again. Because it said, if I follow the desires of my sinful nature, your lives will produce these evil results. Number one, sexual immorality. It just amazes me. You cannot turn on the television to a secular station without seeing some kind of a problem with sexual immorality. I mean, it's on there. You can't hardly even watch the news at 10 o'clock at night without seeing the commercials, some kind of sexual immorality between the news. We are eat up with sexual immorality. And the church is not much different than the world. And that's why we got all the problems we got in the church. And that's why we got all the sickness and disease we got. The other day I had a young lady come up here at the last healing school. At the very last healing school. A young lady right here. She said, Pastor, I come to this healing school because I heard Jesus does wonderful things out here. I said, yes, ma'am, he certainly does. I said, what's your problem? She said, I have a venereal disease I need to be prayed for. I'm wanting to get married, but I have a venereal disease. I said, you've been having sex with somebody, haven't you? She says, yes, I have. I said, do you know that's wrong? Yes, I know it's wrong. I said, then in God's name, why do you do it? She knew it was wrong, and the disease she had, except God cure it. I'm not even going to tell you what it was, but except God cure it, there ain't no doctor in the world that can hear what she had. It is not curable. How did she get it? I'll tell you how she got it. The disease she had is caused by oral sex. That's how she got it. Some people in the church think that's okay, but let me tell you, that's not okay. But most of the church don't even know that. I know, I minister to the church all the time. But look what it says here. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your lives will produce these evil results. Sexual immorality. That was her problem. She's followed her evil desires and it brought this sexual disease upon her. But you have no idea how many people. Now, of course, I will have to say, we serve an awesome God. You have no idea how many women and men both that I pray for at healing schools that have had a sexual disease that got healed. But you know how to get, you know what moves God's hand? You repent to Him and tell Him you're sorry and make Him a promise. Lord, I will never do this again. Because I can guarantee you, if you come up here to one of my healing schools and you come with a venereal disease and you pour out your heart to God, God, I'm so sorry. I promise you I will never do those things again. And I pray for you and He heals you. Don't you come back up here 6 months later and tell me you got the same disease again, because I know you've been doing the same thing and you're wasting my time and yours. I have never had God heal the second time around. I've seen Him put judgment upon you. But I've never seen Him heal you the second time for the same thing if you continue to do the same sin. You're going to be stuck with that all of your life. How would you like to have one of those diseases? The Word of God in Proverbs says, if you get involved in sexual sin, you will give your life to the cruel. You know who the cruel are? The devil and his demons. You know, I read that a lot of times before that made sense to me. If you get involved in sexual immorality, you will give your life to the cruel. I thought, wow, who is the cruel? I didn't understand it. I mean, I prayed over this book, studied this book. I've done all kinds of things. But now I realize the importance of being a father and a holy man of God to teach your children the truth. I remember when we were reading, when I was raising my children, when my son and daughter were little bitty, I started reading God's Word to my children when my daughter was 1 month old and my son was 2 years old. That's when I started reading to them. And I read the Word of God to them every night. And I remember when my little daughter was about this big, was over in Proverbs, and it says, do not be a prostitute. He said, Daddy, what's a prostitute? She didn't know. She had a pure, clean little heart. She didn't know what a prostitute was. She wanted to know. So I had to explain to her the best way I knew how to something in words that she could understand. And I told her. And I told her that she had parts on her body that nobody was to touch. They were private. And then I remember, You think about these things, you think, well, do the kids really remember that? And only about a year later, I guess, we were all with some friends of ours, and one of their sons was about 3 years older than my son, and of course that'd make him about 5 years older than Amanda. And they were in the back of the station wagon, and we were driving along, all of us were talking, the man and his wife were in the front seat, Betty and I were in the back seat, and all of a sudden Amanda screamed out, "Daddy, so-and-so just touched me on my private part." Oh my goodness gracious alive. And they're right in the back seat. And boy, the father of that boy, he screamed at him, "Son, don't you dare touch Amanda." Oh, I mean, he was really reading her the riot act. "I'm Daddy, I'm sorry, I didn't do it on purpose." You know he was lying. Oh, you know he was lying. We were riding along in the car with all of us together, and he did that. Now, if you don't teach your children what's right and wrong, they're going to be treated wrong. Because this family I'm talking about, this man and this woman in his car were as devout Christians as I know. And their children, all of them, they took them to church every time the door was open. That's why they were good friends of ours. Because he and I were both deacons in the Baptist church. We taught our children God's word. We're not the average people out there on the street. We're children of God. And if our children are going to do those kind of things, what do you think your kids are going to do? They're going to do the same thing. So you have to teach them what's right and wrong. Until they get saved, they're children of the devil. I hate to tell you that. I think you already know that. You don't have to teach children how to do things wrong, do you? Until they get saved, they know how to be mean. They know how to hurt each other. They know how to steal from each other. They know how to fight, knock down, drag out, don't they? See, we all were like that because we were all children of the devil. You have to teach your children how to be holy. And if you don't teach them, you're going to have a real problem on your hand, Mom and Dad. Sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, participation in demonic activities, hostilities, quarrelings, jealousy.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, "Command the Beast to Leave," or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you pre- and post-paid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.